Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Our gospel lesson for this week is Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" But Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave! I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Here ends our gospel lesson.
Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think with me for a moment, if you will, about all of the lakefront properties just north of Ronan here on Flathead Lake. Think of the multi-billion-dollar mansions, all the sailboats, the restaurants, the docks, and the resorts. Imagine the land values, the worth of all the cherry trees on the east shore, improvement costs, everything. Imagine it all. Now picture what your assets would look like if you owned all of Mission Bay and Polson and Findlay Point, all of the lake properties from Big Fork over to Lakeside and down to Dayton and Big Arm. We're not going to do the math to add it all up, so take joy in that, I guess. But we are likely talking about billions of dollars worth of housing, property value, and agricultural output that would all combine to a hefty sum. Now, imagine, if you will, somehow you owned all of that. Every house, every foot of shoreline, every cherry tree, everything. You owned it all. Then, imagine that you somehow got into financial trouble and ended up owing the bank every ounce of property, and you are personally liable. You cannot declare bankruptcy, but instead have to come up with and pay for everything on your own. Every inch of lakeshore, every mansion, all of Shelter Island, all of it. Otherwise, you'll be thrown into prison for the rest of your life. That would be a lot of money to have to come up with, right? Just thinking about the prospect of something like that is quite the tall order. The servant in our gospel parable for this week owed the king this much money and more. That's right. If he owned all of the pricey real estate around the lake, all of the beautiful land and houses, and every orchard, it would still not be enough to pay the king what he owed. The text says that the slave owed the king 10,000 talents, which is basically an insane amount of money. In ancient currency, a talent was worth roughly 6,000 denarii, or a daily wage. And so that's basically 6,000 days of work. So the servant owing the king 10,000 talents meant that he owed him 60 million denarii, an impossible sum for one person to be reasonably expected to pay back. As is the case with many of Jesus' parables, I think he wanted us to realize how immense this debt was. The only way that the slave could get around the situation was through the king's generosity and forgiveness. He owed more money than he could possibly earn in 20 lifetimes, and his debt was worth far more than his or his own family's lives. He was in so much debt that there was no possible way for him to pay it back or work his way free from it. Now, even though there was no possible way that slave and his family were worth his debt to the king first ordered them to be sold at market. At least he would get something for all that the slave owed him, right? This most likely would have meant that they would be separated from each other when they were sold to different buyers. So, understandably, the slave pleaded with the king to show mercy. He fell to his knees and pleaded with the king, saying, "Have patience, and I will pay you everything." In the face of his pathetic state, the overwhelming nature of his debt, and out of his own generosity, the king released him and forgave his debt. Though the slave owed him the GDP of a small country, the king was moved to show him immense kindness by freeing him from his crippling burden. The king was owed several lifetimes worth of repayment, but he instead showed grace to his lowly servant by giving him far more than he could ever earn. This is where we enter the story. As slaves forgiven of all of the insurmountable debt load of our sins. Again, imagine the value of all the million-dollar views and billions of dollars that are wrapped up in property, housing, and agriculture just up the road from here. Imagine if you owned it all, then owed it all, only to be unexpectedly forgiven of your debt by Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, when the banks came calling to collect. It's almost unfathomable to imagine that kind of forgiveness. And yet, Christ offers us this kind of grace and more every day. Our debts to our Creator in our fallen state are impossible to pay back. Yet God, our heavenly King, does not demand acts of penance or sacrifice, but has already paid our debts for us. We do not need to be sold off to the devil or anything like that. We are free to live as children of God in the eternity that is being prepared for us through the life, death, and resurrection of the Son of God himself. The eternal debts that we have accrued are impossible to repay. But this does not matter, because our debt has already been paid for us. God's grace is truly wonderful and generous. Hopefully, though, you do not find as much in common with the slave in the parable after he is forgiven his debt by the generous king. In the parable, the slave left the king's presence, found another slave that owed him 100 denarii, and demanded that he pay what he owed. Mirroring his own desperate request to the king, the other slave fell down and pleaded with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." His fellow slave's debt was far and away smaller than the one that the first slave had with his king. it was still enough to kick up a fuss about. Now, you might expect that the slave who had been shown such abundant mercy by the king would be merciful in return. You would expect that the slave might even rejoice that he had the opportunity to be gracious to a fellow slave in a similar way to how he had been shown grace himself. Here it was, a moment for him to act like a noble king for his fellow slave and absolve him of what he owed. This was his moment, right? Instead, he turned around after having been forgiven more than any of our millionaire neighbors here in Montana, more than they can even shake a fist at. And he threw the slave who owed him a few months' wages into debtor's prison. While his creditor had been generous and merciful with the debts that he owed, this slave treated his fellow debtor shrewdly and cruelly, demanding what was owed while forgetting that he was just in this guy's place himself, but with far worse debts to his name. Well, as we heard in our story, other slaves told the king about what happened, who then summoned him, critiqued his cruelty, and handed him over to be tortured. He had been shown grace, but ultimately rejected it because he could not show grace to others. This is a heavy tale. I sincerely hope that this parable hits home for you. I know it always does for me. It is a daunting image prepared for ungracious recipients, unforgiving objects of forgiveness. Nearly every day, my family and I pray the haunting words of the prayer that our Lord taught us. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. We pray this prayer with the hope that we can show more grace and mercy to us, to those around us, than the slave showed to the one who owed him money. Yet, it is daunting to realize that God has shown me grace that is worth more than anything I will ever own. More than a place on the lake, more than a private jet, more than a billionaire's salary. And though God has shown me such love and mercy and forgiveness, still I turn around and judge others who can't get sober, who can't hold down a job, who can't put their brains and abilities to good use, can't take care of their families, or sin in a myriad of other ways. God has forgiven me more trespasses than I even care to call to mind. And still, the prospect of forgiving those who trespass against us often seems beyond me. Like the slave who was shown miraculous mercy, only to then turn around and treat his fellow slave with the harshest retribution possible. The parable paints a bleak picture of how many of us end up treating one another in the real world. Still, thankfully, graciously, God is forgiving even of our unforgiving natures and inspires us to be more generous with each other than we would otherwise be. God does not inspire us through the flames of hell, but by shining the unquenchable light of Christ's love upon us all the brighter. God inspires us to be gracious by showing us grace again and again at every turn, at every stage of our lives. It's amazing, really. God inspires us to love more than we think possible by continuing to show us love that is unimaginable, love that is unimaginable and beyond measure. God is gracious even with our ungraciousness and forgives us even if we fail to forgive others as we have been forgiven. This is the most wonderful news, brothers and sisters, and may we cling to it all the tighter this week. And may we aspire to be better than the king's slave and pray like there is no tomorrow when we realize that we are his equal. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.